You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
And they are as follows. I have John Vargas, who is a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering. Let's give it up for John Vargas, please. All right, yes, John, please find one of these fine platforms right here and stand behind it. And then coming up next, we've got Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper, who is an ASE Certified Mechanic. ASE Certified Mechanic, yes he is. And finally, not to be confused with John Vargas, we've got Nikia Vargas, who is a Bachelor of Science in Paralegal Studies. Not to be confused with Paranormal Studies, because that's just weird. But Nikia, why don't you find a spot here behind whatever you call that thing, number three. So here's what we're going to do. We got three experts up here. Again, John here is an electrical engineer. And that means important sciencey stuff. And Bill here is a mechanic, and he conveniently is wearing a mechanic shirt. He is a certified ASE mechanic for vehicles. And Nakia is a paralegal. And what that means is that when she goes to the courtroom, she comes in by plane. She jumps out of the plane with a parachute and therefore is a paralegal or something like that, so I'm told. So what we're going to do is I've got some quiz questions for these three experts. And they're going to answer. A little tooth problem there. I should see a dentist. They're going to answer. Oh, let's pose for the picture. Everybody smile here. And can you get the screen there so we know it's an official game show, you know, so we can, you know, do all that. Bill, that's excellent. Smiling there. All right. You got this? All right. We good? You got one more? You want more there? No, we're good? Okay, we're going to do another one. All right, you have it all? Okay, good. All right, so pause for commercial break. So what I'm going to do is I've got I've got one less than 10 questions, and I'm going to ask them, and what you're going to do is you actually have an extra piece of paper in case you mess up, but one piece of paper per question, and you have a marker there, so I'd like you to write down, because you're not microphoned. As much as I know John wants to be microphoned, and actually I'm sure Nikia does too, we can have Jason and Natalie come up and you guys just could have a whole sing-along together with your microphone. But anyway, so we're just going to write down the answers to the question. So one piece of paper per answer, and don't cheat. Don't look at people around you, but you need to answer the question. Do you have any questions about the questions that I'm about to ask you? No. Say yes or no. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. That is very paralegally. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so here is your first question, and no help from the audience, because these are our experts. Okay. excuse me for a moment. What is the spectral analysis of a signal in the time domain which converts it to the frequency domain? Again, what is a spectral analysis of a signal in the time domain which converts it to the frequency domain? Please write down your answers now. Some answer, please. Abbreviations will be welcome as well. Okay, let's start down here. What do you have, Nakia?
Space.
Okay, that's her answer. Bill, what do you have? A question mark symbol, almost. And then John, what do you have? Fast Fourier transform. He is correct. He is correct. That is an excellent answer to an engineering question there, John. Okay, let's move on. So 1 point for John. Let's keep track, if you would, for me. So maybe you guys can kind of keep track for John, and the center section can keep track for Bill, I'm about to lose some teeth. You can catch my teeth if they come out, okay? Thank you. And then the left section, my left, can keep track of Nakia, our paralegal expert. So you can get rid of that page, just toss it away. Just yep. No, she has to file it. Okay, so she filed it. Okay, good. Okay, number two question. Who bears the legal responsibility to ensure... Who bears the legal responsibility to ensure that what people say in the courtroom is recorded in a transcript? Please write down your answer. Almost. All right, let's start that in. John, what do you have?
Court reporter.
That's okay. That's an answer. Bill, what do you have? Typing person. That sounds very official. And then Nakia, what do you have?
Stenographer.
Almost came out. Okay. So, Nakia, that is the exact correct answer. John, you get like a partial point because it's close. But Nakia, excellent answer to that legal question. Okay, moving on. Third question. We need to go a little faster here. What is the name for the angle at which the front spindle of the tire leans back? What is the name for the angle at which the front spindle of a tire leans back? What is the name to answer the question? Okay, let's, we have an answer down there? Oh, sorry, we got an answer down there? All right, let's start with you, John. What do you have?
Camber.
Okay, that is an answer. That sounds important. Nakia, what do you have?
Obtuse.
That is an angle. But we'll just anyway. And Bill, what do you have? Caster. Caster is the correct answer. Bill, a point for Bill. So good job for Bill. I think. Yay. Okay. Yeah, good. So an excellent answer to that mechanical or question. Okay, number four. We need to go faster. We're not doing that, but we should be. Okay. What is the name for the time required to charge or discharge a capacitor in an RC circuit? What is the name for the time required to charge or discharge a capacitor in an RC circuit? Do you remember the part where I said we need to go faster? The answer is obtuse. Acute. Okay. No, I'm acute with my teeth and my hair. Okay, let's start here. Bill, what do you have? A phase. Phase, that's an answer. It's just a phase. That's a good answer, okay? And Nakia, you stole Bill's answer from before, the question mark symbol. And then, John, what do you have? An RC time constant. That is the correct answer, John. Way to answer that engineering question. Give it up for John. Come on, we need some audience participation to move this thing on. Okay, moving on to the next question. In civil law, what is an action that denies a person or business, in some cases, employment, credit, insurance, or some other benefit due to consumer credit or criminal history? In civil law, what is an action that denies a person or business, in some cases, employment, credit, insurance, or some other benefit due to something, to consumer credit or criminal history? You have an answer? Okay. It's moving on here. Still right. All right, let's start with you in the middle there. Bill, what you got? I don't know. That is correct. No, it's not correct. Okay, John, what do you have? Bob. That is almost correct, too. The answer is, Nakia, what do you have? An adverse action. Adverse is the correct answer. Give it up for Nakia. All right. What an answer to that legal question there, Nakia. Well done. Okay, moving on. What is the definition of a sports car? What is the definition of a sports car? Specific. Specific answers, please. I never knew of a church to have a running gag, but somehow we have pulled it off for like 5 months now. Okay, let's start with Nakia. Please do not throw fruit if you do not like her answer. Mustang, no Camaro. That is her answer. All right, John, what do you have?
Really fast.
Really fast, okay. And Bill, what do you have? Not a Mustang. but specifically a performance car with two seats. Bill, your answer is correct. So, yeah, give it up for Bill. What an answer to that mechanical question. So, yes, a Mustang is, in fact, not a sports car. Okay, moving on. According to the IEC 61161 standard, the power output of a transducer measured by a radiation force balance of 10 micro-watts, MWs, is equivalent to 0.68 milligrams of weight displacement on what? Let's try that one more time. According to the IEC 61161 standard, the power output of a transducer measured by a radiation force balance of 10 milliwatts is equivalent to 0.68 milligrams of weight displacement on what? All right. All right, Bill, let's start with you. What do you have? A fuse. That is not correct. Nakia, what do you have? A scale. A scale is not correct. John, what is your answer? Sound-absorbing target. That is the correct answer. Give it up for John. Good job, John. Way to answer that engineering question. Good job. How did you know that? I don't know. I just don't know. Okay, moving on. Two more questions to go. What is the current score? It's like 2-3 to 2-2? Something like that? All right, that'll work for me. Okay, moving on. Sorry, there's a lot of slobber there, okay? It's better than drool. The due process clauses of what amendments provide parents with the rights to make decisions concerning the care, custody, and control of their children? The due process clauses of what amendments provide parents with the rights to make decisions concerning the care, custody, and control of their children? I need an answer there, Bill. Come on. Yes, good answer, Bill. Good answer. Okay, Bill, what do you have? What amendments are part of the due process clauses of care? The 79th Amendment, folks. The 79th Amendment. Yes, that is probably there somewhere. Okay, John, what do you have?
Third and fourth.
Good sequential numbers, but no, that is incorrect as well. Nakia, what is your answer? The 5th and 14th, that is correct. The 5th and 14th Amendment provides due process to the blah, 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 blah. All right. Okay, final question. You should have an extra. Oh, my math is wrong. Go figure. Okay, so use something else. You can write on your arm. Trust me, it'll wash off. Okay, final question. What is the firing order of a Chevy small block? What is the firing order of a Chevy small block? All right, let's start down there with John. What do you have, John?
1-8-6-7-5-3-0-9.
1-8-6-7-5-3-0-9. That's kind of funny. I know someone named Jenny. Okay, so Bill, that is incorrect. Good answer, though. What Bill do you have, number? 1-8-4-3-6-5-7-2. Bill, that is correct. That is a correct answer for Bill. Nakia, what do you have? 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8. That is incorrect. I'm sorry. So there we go. So I think the final score is 3-3-3. Is that correct? And a half. All right, why don't you give it up for our contestants? So thank you, you're our paralegal expert and our mechanical expert and our electrical engineering expert. Why don't you give it up for these guys? You can have a seat. Did you catch that on the mic? All right. So, if you want to know something about something, typically you go to an expert. Not typically. You should. Why? Because an expert knows what they're talking about. So if you wanted to know something about mechanicery, Nakia is not the person to go to. Sorry.
You know, if you want to learn about electrical engineering, John seems to know his stuff. I don't even know what his stuff is, but we've all heard it. And, of course, Nakia knows the legal side of things. And so the issue there was with that game, if you're an expert in something, you know what you're talking about. And if you are someone that wants to know, like, if you have a problem with your car, because I know this happens with you guys a lot. If you have a problem with your car, you're going to go to Bill and say, hey, Bill, this is what's happening. This is what I'm hearing. This is what's going on. And Bill will probably give you an answer or make one up, one or the other. But Bill knows the stuff because he's an expert. He's a certified mechanic. And so you're going to go to Bill because you want to find out what's going on with your car. And you're not going to go to John. I mean, John knows some stuff, but he's not a mechanic. And you're not going to go to Nakia because she's a paralegal. And you know, there's all sorts of other people. You guys are all professionals in different areas and different fields. But you want to go to the expert. You want to get the right information. You want to go to a doctor that knows what they're talking about. You want to go to a doctor that can help you. And, you know, if you have a major issue, you don't want to go to, I don't know, a dentist, unless it's a major dental issue. I mean, you want to go to an eye doctor. Why would anybody ever want to go to an eye doctor for anything? Who knows? But, you know, the point being is that if you want to get the right information, you go to the expert. And last week, let me talk about the point that we're going to... No, I didn't have it yet. Okay, yeah, good. So last week we ended with this verse from Proverbs. This is the very last week of this No Filter series. And of course, we've been talking all series long, the last 2 months, about putting filters into our lives that need to filter out stuff that shouldn't be there. And last week we ended with this verse, and we got a chance in your prime groups this week to kind of chew on it a little bit, and just kind of, we left it hanging there. And Proverbs 19:3 says, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness, and then are angry at the Lord. And we talked last week about filtering out the influences of the world. And throughout this series, we've been talking about all sorts of things. Filtering our friends, because our friends affect us, they shape us, they guide us, whether it's the right way or the wrong way. We talked about filtering the words that we say that come out of our mouths, filtering them. We talked about filtering our thoughts and what things are we allowing into our minds. We talked filtering our emotions. How do we keep our emotions from controlling us? And all of these things kind of lead to this idea here, because we don't filter out the things. We don't obey what God says. And then things aren't good. We're not happy, and not that God promises you to be happy, but things aren't going well. We have marriage problems. We have job issues. We have family relationship things. We have all sorts of issues with bills and trying to meet the demands. We have all these things that are kind of ruining our lives. And honestly, in my experience, it's, well, why would God do this to me? Why would God do this to me? And there's a part of me that says, it's not God's fault. It's yours. Now, God is full of grace and compassion. We talked about that last week when we talked about letting God transform us, that God can do that and will do that. But don't ignore His instructions. Don't go play in the street and wonder why you got hit by a car. Don't stick your hand in the fire and wonder why you got burned. Because it's not God's problem, because God has given us some instructions, some plans. Why? Because God is the expert. God is the expert in life. He created your life. He created everything about your life. Everything that you do, everything that goes on. He created this goal of perfection that started in Adam and Eve. And it didn't work out, and eventually Jesus came and said, okay, I'm going to do it for you, because you can't. But God knows what's going on. He knows everything about this. And so therefore, He's the expert. And so when it comes to this idea of not having a good life, and I don't know what good looks like. I mean, that it's not an emotional feeling. Hey, I'm happy, everything's great. But even being able to endure and get through hard times with God's strength comes back to coming to Him as the expert. And so the point that I want to wrap this series up with, since we've been talking about this hashtag, here's a hashtag you can use now. Hashtag, the Bible is my filter. Because when the Bible is our filter, with the Bible is my filter, I know that's not grammatically correct, but it's a better hashtag that way, we can navigate life. And here's the thing. Life, that's everything. That's everything. Everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we encounter,
all of this series comes to this point, to this week, because everything we've talked about is putting these filters in our lives, and they all come from the Bible. And we need to understand why, because God's the expert. God says, I know what's best for you. I want what's best for you. I love you. I created you. I know everything about you. You are my precious child. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. And therefore, he's the expert. And so, you know, sorry, but I'm not going to ask Nakia what's wrong with my car, because she could give me an answer that I don't know anything about cars either. And if it's not right, and it ends up being, I mean, it could just be like, wow, that's inconvenient. My car isn't working. Or it could be dangerous. Yeah, all those brake pad things. Yeah, I don't think you need them. Get them off. Okay. Well, thanks, Nakia. No, because she's not the expert. And so it's important to go to the expert and get the advice, the information, the guidance from the expert. And the expert, of course, is the word, is God. And he has given his word to us. And that's the crazy thing. And we'll look at that in just a moment here. The fact that he has given us his word. He has given us his instructions. He didn't say, go figure it out on your own. You know, just deal. He says, this is my word. So we're going to look at this passage that may perhaps be familiar to you. If it is not familiar to you, you're not in a prime group. I mean, you've just been exposed. Because this passage might be familiar to you. So, I probably don't even need to put it on the screen. Because you guys have been spending the last 8 weeks memorizing this verse. This passage. But we're going to look at... Anybody guess? Any guesses out loud? Psalm 119, 1 through 11. Yeah. All right. Put it up on the screen. We're going to turn on the house lights if you have a paper Bible and you need to turn there. And if you have the YouVersion app, certainly it's the Old Testament. But again, this is the NLT. I know you guys were allowed to memorize this in different versions, different translations. Allowed, that's kind of weird. But anyway, so here's what it says. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commands carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we've intentionally been building up to this in prime groups, having you work on a piece of this passage over the last 8 weeks. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But it's kind of cool. I mean, even in our group this past week, hearing everybody putting the verse together and saying, yeah, like this is, we're going to be talking about this. This is something that's been in us, and that'll make sense in a moment. But I want to talk about a few things when it comes to asking the expert. If you want to know how do we live life, how do I get through this? How do I endure this? How do I handle this situation? How do I find joy? How do I, whatever. You ask the expert. And the expert, can I just be straight with you? It's not online, unless it's the YouVersion app. But Mifflin County Alerts is not the expert. Your buddy is not the expert. Your lady friend that goes, it's okay, hon, is not the expert. Sorry, I didn't do it like that. Is not the expert. And you know, your mom is not the expert. Your dad is not the expert. Oprah is not the expert. Dr. Phil is not the expert. Your buddies at work are not the experts. The ladies that hang out with you after hours are not the experts. Your spouse is not the expert. Listen to me. Your pastor is not the expert. The expert is the Word of God. The Word of God is the expert. Everything, even as I teach, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I mean, the intense... James talks about the importance of teaching and correcting and all of that and why it's such a big deal. But I'm not perfect. You can't, like, I want you to walk out of here and go, you know what, I don't believe that that's in the Bible. fine. Go read it for yourself. And if you read and go, you know what, that is not there, then great. But don't walk away and go, well, you know, my buddy said that that's not true. I don't care about your buddy. Sorry. Because God is the expert. And if we don't want to end up with a life where we're going, oh, everything's miserable and it's God's fault. No, he's given us his word. So let's break it down into a couple of things. The first thing is that this passage talks about the benefits of the Bible. The benefits of the Bible. Enjoy it. The Bible is to be enjoyed. And I know like that is so anti what, especially if you grew up in church world or you've heard what, you know, how, you know, Christians, whatever you want to call them, are portrayed on TV. Like,
well, it's time for the standing of the reading of the word, and we make it all something really boring.
And there's a respect thing there. I'm not trying to mock other people. I'm just saying that most of us don't have this idea that, wow, we're supposed to enjoy this thing. And the answer is yes. And this is what the writer says here. Joyful are people of integrity. And the word joyful here means joyful, full of joy. Like this is cool. People of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. So these people are joyful that are following God's instructions. Now, I need to clarify something just to be clear. We talked a couple years ago about the crop series and about how the Old Testament was written specifically to a group of people, the Israelites, and had some specific commands that when Jesus came on the scene kind of changed and adjusted things. So knowing that, the writer of this of Psalm 118 here, we're talking about the Old Testament law, the rules and regulations. But to them, that was what is the Bible to us. So understand that the New Testament didn't exist when this was written. But the idea of the commands, the instructions, the word of God, you're going to see phrases over and over and over and over again. And because of this, basically synonyms of the same idea, referring to the word of God, referring to the Bible, referring to the Holy Scriptures, referring to however you want to title that. But that's what we're talking about here. So he says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord, who follow the word of God. These people are joyful. The Bible is meant not as I'm bringing it down, dropping some rules on you. It's meant so that we can enjoy life. Then he says, joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Don't start blaming God and you have nothing to do with him. You don't want to study his word. You don't want to obey him or search for him. This is joyful. He says, I have given you this stuff. You've got my word so that you can enjoy it. And I'll probably say this later, but if I don't, like, dude, we are living in a generation that is amazing because for free, you can get not just one translation, but any, almost every translation, even in all sorts of languages of the Bible, on your personal device and phone. So, like, we have access in a way that no one ever had before. When I was in college, in Bible college, I was so excited because for Christmas one year, I asked for this for Christmas, my parents got me this pocket fold-up Bible. And it was like this big and this size. And it was so cool because I could carry the Bible with me. I look kind of like I'm, you know, about to go hiking or something. But I don't know, that's because what you wear is when you hike, I guess. But it was big, but it still was kind of cool because I could carry it with me. But it still was bulky. But right now you have instant access on a device that you currently probably have touching you right now. So he says, joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil and they walk only in his paths. He's saying the Bible is to be enjoyed. This is a good book. It's not just a good book because people call it the good book. But because this book is good. Because it's good for us. It is helpful for us. So again, don't kind of whine and complain about why, God, are you doing this? Why don't you help me out? When God's like, I've given you the instructions. And it's not even IKEA instructions. There's like real words. If you have done IKEA, put together IKEA equipment, any furniture from IKEA? If you have, right away you're going like, what? It's all these like pictograms with random lines. And then this like nose guy that looks like Ziggy. Does anybody remember Ziggy? And who calls the phone. Like that's the end. If you can't figure it out, call IKEA. So they might as well just skip all the other instructions and just start with the guy calling IKEA. Because the instructions make no sense whatsoever. So you can Google that some other time. But there's all sorts of fun memes about that. But anyway, so he's given us clear instructions. And because this is something for us to enjoy, it's for our benefit. So that is the benefit of the Bible. The second thing is the requirement of the Bible. In order to enjoy it, you have to do it. That is the expectation. The expectation, the requirement, the understanding is that if we are truly going to enjoy life, and again, enjoy doesn't mean everything's perfect and good, but we've talked about this before, but we have to do it. Just knowing it, and I'm going to contradict myself here in a moment, but just knowing it isn't enough. I know a lot of people that know a whole lot of the Bible, a whole lot more of the Bible than me, and then don't do a thing with it. That's useless. That's pointless. There's no reason. The Bible is meant to be obeyed, to be done. Like if we do it, then we'll be able to enjoy it. And that's what he goes on and says here in the next part of the verse here. He says, "You have charged us. You have given us this order. You have given us this instruction to keep your commands carefully." And this word "keep" means to observe, to keep watch. It has to do with the Hebrew word has to do with a guard, and a guard's job is to make sure that no one gets out, to pay very close attention to the prisoners, to make sure that they don't leave, to keep a close eye. And, you know, in all the classic stories, there's always the person, the guard that falls asleep, and then the guy, you know, gets the dog to open the jail cell and something like that. You know, because that guard wasn't keeping watch. And this word means to keep careful, paying attention. And he says that God has charged us to keep, to watch his commandments carefully, his word. His instructions. He says, "Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. God, I'm praying that I would be living this out. That I would be doing it, doing the decrees, the instructions, the commands, the word, the scripture, the Bible." Again, we're using them synonymously. He says, "Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands." And that's a question I have for you. If there are people following you, looking up to you, and there are. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your position is. But there are people that look up to you and that follow you. And they might not look up to you because you're older, necessarily. But if they imitate the way you follow Jesus, would you be ashamed? If they look up to you and follow the way you follow Jesus, would you be ashamed to see what that looks like? He says, "Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands." Here's God's instruction. Here's what my life looks like. How close are they? We need to bring them together. He goes on and says, "As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. As I learn your word, I will respond in worship, in thanksgiving, by living that way." Like, God is so much more interested in you living obediently than just saying, "God, thanks for everything you've given me." God wants us to do something with it. And you know how this is. I mean, things happen with gifts and Christmas and birthdays and all that stuff. But, you know, you take your time and you really like, oh. And I can say this because I always botch this one. I seem to mess this up sometimes. I'm like, oh, Kendra's really going to want this. This meat cleaver. See, here's my issue. Like, I don't want to be that guy that, like, you know, oh, I just gave you everything in your list. I want to be like, yeah, I thought through this. I figured it out on my own. I figured it out. And I usually don't. But anyway, you know, there's still some debate and dispute here. We could not find the video recording of this conversation. Because the secret cameras weren't working then at that point, I don't know. There was a moment, I'm sure of it, that Kendra said, and I quote, "Boy, I would really love to have a meat cleaver for Christmas." I think that's how it went. And so I did all this research and found, like, this is the best meat cleaver. I'm so excited that she's getting this meat cleaver for Christmas. Because I don't even really think through what a meat cleaver is used for. But that's, you know, I don't really know anything about anything. I know the Bible a bit. That's about the extent of my knowledge. And so I'm all excited, like, here it is. Oh, thanks. All right. Thank you, Sean. Yeah, I spent all this time and I picked it out, and oh, thanks. That'll look nice in that drawer. And, you know, for me, we ended up discussing later how something got mixed up. I think it was her. I'm pretty sure. But something got messed up there because she always cleaves meat. That's like her thing, you know. Like, what are you doing? Are they, oh, just cleaving some meat. I don't know. Maybe I'm misinterpreting something in there. Probably, maybe. But anyway, the point is, thank you. Meh. But if she said, this is awesome, Sean. This is the best meat cleaver ever. Then I'm going, yes, you're using it. And that's the whole point here. God's going, look, this isn't an issue of just saying thanks. Use it. Do something with it. That's what his word is. And as I learn your regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. And I love that. Like, no, God is not going to give up on us. Even if you're like, yeah, you know what? I am not following God today the way I'm supposed to be. I'm not doing what. God's not done. God's like, okay, come on. Use this word. Use the word of God. It is there. It is the instruction manual for you. It is there given to you so that you can do this life thing, so that you can navigate through all of these things. So the benefits of the Bible are to enjoy it. The requirement is to do it. And then finally, the treatment of the Bible is to know it. How are we supposed to treat the Word of God? You need to know it in order to do it, and you need to do it in order to enjoy it. You follow that process because it is meant for our enjoyment, but we can't enjoy it if we're not doing it, and we can't do it if we don't know it. I mean, you can't. There's so many things in life that if you don't have the instruction manual, we can fake our way through it. But there are some things that you need the instruction manual. And you need to know what it is in order to be able to do it. And so that's how we're supposed to treat the Bible. And he goes on here and says, how can a young person stay pure? How can a young person stay pure? It's not going. All right. It's not there. There's no verse there. Just click it anyway. I bet you it'll appear. Yep. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Like, there's a pursuit here. Do you see this? This person's saying, I want your word. I want more of you, God. Don't let me wander from your commands, from your word, from the Bible. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He's saying, look here, the way to respond to all this is I need to know it. I need to pursue God's word. I need to study it. I need to read it. I need to hide it in my heart. I need to memorize it. I need to have it. Because even though you do have the Bible app available, YouVersion for free, anywhere you are at any time, oftentimes when your boss says, can we talk? And they come in and they share some information with you. You say, oh, can you hold on while I pull out that and do a quick verse search and see if there's something I need to do? That doesn't usually happen. When your wife says, that's it, I'm done. Oh, hold on, can I quickly look up a verse and see how I'm supposed to respond to this? No, because we need to have it in us. We need to have it in us, and we do that by knowing it, by reading it, by studying it, by memorizing it. And he says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If this is meant to be enjoyed for our benefit, for our pleasure, and we have to do it in order to enjoy it, therefore we have to know it in order to do it. And so therefore, what does that look like? That looks like three things I have here. Go to the next slide there. That is reading it. You sitting here listening to me tell you what the Bible says is not reading the Bible. You can call it all sorts of spiritual things that you want. Like, well, I heard it on Sunday. Yeah, right, you did. Don't give me that. Reading the Bible means you're reading it. And what does reading it look like? It means reading it. Does that mean reading the whole thing in one sitting? Probably not. Does that mean reading a chapter? Maybe. Does that mean reading a verse? Possibly. A couple verses? Maybe a Bible reading plan? Maybe. That's a good thing. Does it mean you have to read it every day or God doesn't love you? No. But it means you are consistently, in order to do it, You're reading it so you know it. And if you're not reading the Bible, don't even come down to any of these other parts. Don't start blaming God and saying, this isn't working. It's all your fault. And God's like, you're not doing this part. Does it seem almost legalistic? It's not supposed to be. Follow the rules. No, it's not the way it is. It's you're reading it because God says, here's my instructions. My love letter, my explanation for how to navigate this thing that I've created. And so we need to read it. The second thing we need to do is study it. So first of all, with reading, I already said YouVersion, free Bible app. If you have questions about it, you can let me know. I'm pretty sure there's people right around you that can tell you where it is, how to get to it. The second thing for studying is when we take time to get to know it. Don't just be like, just read through. Okay, I'm done. Send your word in my heart, and I'll ask you. Okay, good. All right, let's move on. What's on TV? Like, no, that's different. Studying it means, okay, what does this mean? I have hidden your word in my heart. Have you taken time to think about that? Like, you're doing all sorts of things in your brain right away because you know that this is a metaphor. You know that this is not literal. Because if so, you'd be like, yeah, I want God's word. Let's cut myself open and shove it in there. No, that's not. No one can see. Because I'm hiding it. No, you've already actually done a little study, right? Whether you realize it or not. But that's what study is. It's like, what does this mean? How does this work? How does that happen? I don't understand this. Why is Nehemiah building a wall? There's a reason. We study, we look into that, and a great resource is Bible.org. Bible.org. Pretty straightforward. It is a great tool with all sorts of maps, and you can type in what's your question, you can type in a verse, and there's all sorts of resources there. It's completely free. And it's actually done by a number of the professors from the graduate school I went to. But Bible.org is a great free resource. And I have tons of books up there, too. If you have questions, I really want to know more about this. I'd be glad to give you. They're called commentaries. And they're basically someone doing what I'm doing right now, kind of explaining what it means. And so there's all sorts of tools there. But again, it's not just reading. If you're just reading through to get through it, I mean, if you guys remember the old TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? The winner would get to read the credits at the end of the show. Okay, that means nothing. Okay, the producer, the gaffer, the key grip. That's pointless. And that's sometimes we read the Bible that way. Okay, whatever. And we can't just read it. We have to study it. And then the third level of this is memorizing it. And, of course, all series long in Prime Groups, you have been memorizing this verse. Why? Because it is now in you. And whether you like it or not, and as a matter of fact, someone's told me just recently that they hate me because these things stick with them. And the Word of God does that. It sticks with us. And those moments when we're like, oh, I don't know. I remember that verse. And in Ignition, these kids are memorizing. Please encourage your kids. Who cares about the prize? The prize isn't the answer. The issue is what that does in your life. And there are verses that I memorized as a child that are still with me. That still, because God has used His Word to help shape us and guide us. And so memorizing is a great way to do that. And just real quick here, the way we did it in Prime Groups as a tool, just to start at the end of the verse, memorize the last couple words, get those right, and then move a couple words in front of it. Because then as you do that, you're always ending on something you know. So all of you should probably have the last verse of this passage pretty well down pat. Because every week this month, you've always come back to those verses. It's a great way. Like typically, we start at the beginning of the verse and memorize to the end. And we're like, okay, for God so loved the world that He gave His only... Okay. For God so loved the world that He gave His only... And if you go the other way, then whoever believes in Him will not perish. Whoever believes in Him will not perish. Whoever believes in Him will not perish. Okay, got that part. Okay. Yeah. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish. And so all of a sudden, you're going, ending with something you know. It's a psychological kind of tool, mnemonic device, but we can talk more about that some other time. But just keep that in mind. If you're like, yeah, I want to memorize the Bible, do it. Another easy way, another simple way, is put it where you'll see it. If there's a verse that you want to learn, if there's a verse you want to memorize, if you go to your mirror every day to blow dry your beautiful hair, put a verse. Stick it on your mirror. Your car, put it on your dashboard. Make a big poster board. Put it right in your windshield. Probably not that, but you would probably see it. And Remember that? That would probably be your last memory. yeah, remember the Word of God as you, you know, anyway. Put it somewhere you memorize it. Another thing, when I was in graduate school, seminary, we had to memorize masses of verses. It was part of the requirements for grad school. It was cool. It was hard. It was a lot of verses. And we actually had a clear shower curtain. And if you would get into the shower, you would see post-it notes all across our clear shower curtain of all these different verses, all these little parts there. And so I took a shower regularly, easily once or twice a week, or a year, you know, sometimes. But every day you take a shower, like, there they are. It's a place that I can see them. So just a little tools, little things, because we need to get it in us, because it's not always going to be something we can just say, hey, let me figure this out real quick. It's a matter of God using that, and it's beautiful, and we'll talk about that, and I'm going to have to fly through some of this stuff at the end here. But one of the verses we're looking at talks about how it's living and active. The Word of God, it's alive. It's not just some random thing. It's something from within us that God can use to help us grow in Him. So that's what this passage is all about. And by the way, if you want to read all of Psalm 119, which, by the way, it is written as an acrostic, which means it's every few verses, it's about every 10 verses or so, is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you look at your version, you'll probably see Aleph and then these different other Hebrew words that I don't know. But it's the Hebrew alphabet, and every verse starts with the first letter of that. So like, you remember those love poems, love, L-O-V-E. Love is what makes me think of you over and over again, various ways and times. Everything is about you. I don't know. See, that was an acrostic. But Psalm 119, I think Psalm 119 is a huge, one of the biggest chapters in the Bible, actually, all about the Word of God. So the point is this: with the Bible is my filter, we can navigate life, because the Bible is the filter for everything. And here's the deal. If you're sitting here going, you know what, I don't care, pastor guy, you probably, one, don't enjoy the Word of God. Fair enough. It has been used in so many good ways, bad ways, ugly ways over the course of history. There was I think it was Young Life, one of the guys that developed a ministry called Young Life, said it was a sin. It's a sin to bore a kid with the Bible, because the Bible is so exciting. The Bible is so unique. But anyway, so some of you have been bored with the Bible. Sit down, class. It's time to go through the Bible. Okay, can I get over with this so I can go watch football? But the other reason sometimes people don't get this is because, well, it doesn't apply. And I'll be honest, you know, the newest parts of the Bible are over 2,000 years old. Around 2,000 years old. The oldest parts of the Bible can be upwards of 4, even more, 1,000 years old. That's really, really old. And I can get into a history of how the Bible is the most accurate reproduction or accurate transmission continued throughout history than any other book, but we're not going to get into that right now. But the point is this: it's really old. How does it matter today? Where does God said, thou shalt tweet this way? Where is that verse? You know, how do I deal with getting trolled online? Where is that, God? What happens when the catalytic converter in my car goes out? How am I supposed to be like? And we have these modern day questions where, like, it doesn't apply. And I just want to run through some things quickly to help you understand that it does. It does. God's word is relevant. Because that's part of the issue. We're like, it's not worth reading, studying, memorizing. It's not worth knowing, doing to enjoy, because it doesn't matter. It's really old. But I want you to understand that it does. God's word does matter. It's incredible. And so here are, since we've been doing this alliteration thing, here are 7 samples of stuff that Scripture says. Okay? So these are samples of stuff. There are way more things. But just to give you kind of a glimpse into some things, and we're going to fly through these. You'll have a chance to explore them some more in your prime groups this week. But again, as we're looking at these, remember that the Old Testament looked at things from the standard of the law, the Torah, which was often the Ten Commandments. That was God's instruction to them. And we know this is a bigger picture. The New Testament talks about the Bible, the Word of God, the whole message, all 66 books of Scripture. But here are seven things, seven staples of stuff that Scripture says. The first thing is that the Bible gives us supplies for living. We already talked about this, the filter for life. But here's what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. All Scripture, all, everything, even Leviticus. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go home and read Leviticus and come back next week. Even Leviticus is inspired by God. So that means that God has given it to us. And there's parts where like, what does that even mean? But I would guarantee if you were a Jewish person today, if you were blood, born in a Jewish culture, Leviticus would make a whole lot of sense. And it actually affects why Jesus' death on the cross is what it is. But anyway, off the subject. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful. All Scripture is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. We talked about this last week, that filter, the influences. How do we know if the world has influences? The Word of God tells us what is true and what is wrong with our eyes. It corrects us when we are wrong. It shows us, like, this is wrong. It's a standard. We were talking about that in our prime group. Like, how do we know what sin is when we let the world define it? Sin is something that is bad unless what there is no such thing as sin, I guess is what we just talked about. If it feels good, do it. Unless what you do offends me, then that's sin. And that's like, within no standard. So people are getting offended and there's all these issues like, because there's no standard. The Word of God is a standard. It is a measuring stick. It is a standard to say, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. He says, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip to give us the tools we need. That's what equipping is, an outfitter. The Bible is life, a life outfitter to do every good work. All Scripture is useful, and God uses it to give us everything we need, all the tools, all the supplies that we need for living life. The next thing is that it gives us the standards for success. And we looked at this last week. We talked about what is success. How do we judge what success is? And Psalm 1 tells us that. And again, this verse is we've chewed on a couple times. Blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. This is success, he says. The one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Success is someone that spends their time in the Word of God, and that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And again, we're talking about God's standards. What is success? What is prosperity? It's not rich. It's not the top of the organization. It's not perfect. It's not trophy wife. It's not perfect body. It's not excellent kids. That is not what God's standards are. But if we spend time meditating and chewing on and letting God's Word infect us, it shows us what the real standards are. The standards of what success is, what makes success, what is not success. The third thing here is that the Bible gives us strength for courage. You've been in a spot where you have to do something that's hard? How are you going to do it? You know you need to do it. You've got a big decision. You know what needs to be done, but it's hard. The Word of God gives us strength for courage. In Joshua is taking over from Moses. Moses dies. Joshua is getting ready to lead the Israelites into the land. And God says to him, look at how many times he says this, and this is just a part of the passage. Be strong and very courageous, Joshua. How does he be strong and courageous? He says, by being careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Obeying the Word of God. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the left or to the right. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. You see that? Knowing, doing. Then you'll be successful, enjoying. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So somehow here God says, look, I want you to do something that's courageous, that's going to require courage and strength. And he ties right into there. How do you do that? By studying his word. It gives us the strength that we need to be courageous. The next thing is that it gives us steps for guidance. How do we know? What is the next step? What's this next thing, God? What do you want me to do? How do I know? Is this, should I go this way or that way? Should I do this thing or that thing? Should I take this job? Should I reject it? Should I quit? Should I not get fired? Should I quit? Should I take the promotion? Should I move away? Should I stay? You know, what does that look like? Should I stay or should I go now? It gives us steps for guidance in Psalm 119, which we've already looked at this morning. Verse 105 of this same passage says this: "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." And just real quick, an idea of a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It's not a flashlight shining down forever. A lamp for our feet, if you had a lamp at that time, it would be just for a step or two. You wouldn't be able to see much more than that. But it was all you needed for that step. And God's word is just for that step. So don't worry about down here. God says, I want you to use my word for just the next step. And here's what happens. We're like, God, I don't know what's down here, so I'm not doing this. And then we blame God when things don't go well. And he says, no. My word is a lamp for your feet. Ask God, what is the next step right now? What does this look like? And look at his word. Maybe this job is going to lead you in a direction that is unhealthy for your family. So maybe you say no. Maybe it's going to lead you to a spot where you get out of debt, so it's healthy. Maybe it's doing some things that are questionable, so you don't want to do it. God doesn't want you to. Maybe it's doing something that will give you more time to be able to serve at church. I mean, there's all these different things, and we don't obey God's word. We don't take the steps that he wants us to take, and then we blame him. Why am I so unhappy? Because you're not obeying him. He says, a lamp to guide our feet, a light for our path. It gives us the steps for guidance. And then worry about the next step after that, by the way. That's the thing about a lamp. Take one step. Oh, look, now you see the next step. Take a step. Now you can see the next step. By the way, he knows what's down there. But he doesn't reveal that to us. He just says, trust me. So, the next thing here is, what do we have? Support for parenting. This is cool. Like, the Bible talks about parenting? Yup. Because parenting is hard. There's all sorts of crazy things, especially today, because everybody wants to tell you how to be a great parent. And that comes from, you don't discipline your children enough. You need to have a firm hand of discipline, too. Let them be free spirits and live around the world and just have time for themselves. Okay, how do you put that together? I don't know. Let's forget what everybody else says and go back to the Word of God, because it gives us support for parenting. Deuteronomy 6 is a passage we use for the philosophy of what makes MC3 family what it is. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. The word of God, he's talking about the commandments to the people as they're getting ready to go into the land of the promised land. He says, impress them on your children. And this word impress means to repeat over and over and over. So what does that look like? He says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you're driving someone, when you're getting ready to go to bed, when you lie down at night, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your forehead. Maybe put that verse in their lunch. In their lunch bag. Maybe it's something you guys do together as a family at the dinner table. Maybe you, I don't know. What if we had an app? What if we had an app for families called Pit Stop? ATU Pit Stop, where together as a family, you could do these things. That's a crazy idea. Wait, we do. Anyway, today is the last week for that because we're taking a break for the summer. But we're going to have a brand new, exciting, some things coming here in the fall. We're excited about that. But anyway, write them on the door frames of your house and your gates. He says, spend time teaching your kids the Word of God, and that will help you parent. Let God's Word change them just as much as it changes you. God's Word needs to be the standard. It gives us support for parenting. And then next, what do we have? It gives us a system for thinking. I don't know about you, but if I spend too much time in my own head, it goes crazy. Like, I just sit and brew and chew. I don't mean drinking and chewing tobacco. I mean, I let things brew in my head and I chew on them over. Like, it ends up getting like, what is up with you? And the Bible actually helps us and gives us a system for sifting through that stuff. Because some things in our hearts and our attitudes are right, and some things are not. The Bible talks about how on our own, we are always going to choose the wrong thing. Our sin has tainted everything. And I love it because it gives us something so we can, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Hebrews 4:12 says this, For the Word of God is alive and powerful. I said that earlier. It's active, alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, which next month you'll see a couple of swords, but for our new fruit series. But we'll get to that later, maybe. Ninja. So, it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. If you're going a little cray-cray in your head, maybe it's time to say, here's all the thoughts. Maybe you even write them out. But you go to the Bible and say, okay, God, what are these right thoughts? Are these wrong thoughts? How does God's Word handle that? How's the situation? Because the Bible does that for us. It exposes the innermost thoughts. It helps us get them out. It helps us sort through all that junk. And finally, a seventh thing, just a sample, is that it gives us a source for comfort. Are you going through something hard? Are you dealing with a challenge? An issue in your life? Maybe it's something that you did, and you're dealing with the consequences of it. Maybe it's something that someone else did to you. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's a job situation. A family issue. Life's hard. And we go through these hard times, we're like, God, why? Where are you, God? Why'd you abandon me? God's like, I have not abandoned you. You're my child, and I love you. And I've got you. And in Psalm 119, sounds like a familiar psalm, huh? He writes here about the Word. He says, your promise revives me. Your Word revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. The proud hold me in utter contempt, but I do not turn away from your instructions. Everyone else is going, you're going down. Everything's awful for you. But he finds comfort. He says, I meditate on your age-old regulations. O Lord, they comfort me. The Word of God has even the source of comfort in the hard times. And it might be, at the very least, just recognizing that God still is in control. That He still has the whole world, including your world, in His hands. Because He does. And it doesn't mean you're going to go like, oh, I read the answer to my problem. Maybe you do. Hey, I see the solution. My problem is I'm a selfish idiot. Well, fix it. But maybe it's just, I got this. Hold on. You might think I'm asleep in the front of the boat, but I know what's going on. And when the time is right, I will stand up and calm the storm. And those are the things that we see in the Word of God. The Bible is useful. The Bible matters. The Bible is practical. It is real. So there are seven samples of stuff that Scripture says. And there's so much more there. The point is this. We want to let the Bible be the filter for our life. With the Bible as my filter, we can navigate life. If you're not spending time in the Bible, it's not a magic good luck charm. Please don't get me wrong. I mean, I remember we had this really fancy family Bible. It came in a wooden case that said the Holy Bible on it. And it was gold around the edges, and it sat on this table. We'd bring it out at Christmas time with all the Christmas decorations. And like, okay, that was neat. But there's nothing magical or special or spiritual about that. Honestly, what would probably have been better for my life would have been to have that Bible all messed up because I spent so much time reading it, so much time in it, that the gold pages were worn off and there were things ripped and there were stains and there were some things there that might have gotten damaged a little because we spent so much time in it rather than it just sitting there looking pretty. And that's the whole point, that we need to let the Bible be in us. Let it be the filter for everything, and I mean everything we do. And then we're going to be able to get to the end and go, yeah, God, you know what? It's not your fault. Well, it is your fault. It's your fault because everything is it's going well. It's your fault, God, because I am obedient to you. And even in the midst of the hardest times, I still have hope. Even in the midst of the difficult things, I've got comfort. Even in the midst of the challenging situations, I know what to do. Because that's the beauty of God's Word. And so this whole series has been that. Take time, know it, read it, Study it. Memorize it. Let it get in you. And let God use His Word to guide us in everything we do. And it's not going to always be perfect. You're not going to always be perfect. But God is always the same and will always love us and will always be there to continue to guide us each step of the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for being the expert. You're not just the expert in our lives. I mean, you created us and you know everything about us. And right now, you know the details of our lives. You know the intimate numbers of the hairs on our head. You know how many breaths we have. The breath that we just took this moment, you have given to us. You have flung the stars into the heavens. The beauty of creation. You have created everything. The mountains, the oceans, the rivers. And you know the whole thing. And that's neat. But if that was the end, that would just be neat. But you intimately love us. And because of your love, you have given us your word. You are the expert, not just knowing it all, but showing us how to get through it all. Showing us how to navigate, how to work our way, to live our way through this life. So thank you for giving that to us in your word. And I pray for each of us here, wherever we are, in our reading, studying, memorizing your word, that you would help us to take it one step further. Whatever that is, take it one step further so that we have more of your word in us, not just to know it, but to do it so that we can enjoy it and enjoy you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.